Radio Berkshire Afternoon. It's Kirsten with you for the next 2 hours, and I'm joined now by Fevzi Turkalp, who knows his stuff when it comes to gadgets. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Now, you like a cake. Where are you when it comes to chocolate and Easter? Not the intro you were expecting.
having space inside chocolate seems wasteful to me. I prefer chunks, or dare I say, slabs of chocolate.
Yeah, I had this discussion with someone this week.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you just pay three times as much for the same amount of chocolate. I mean, you know.
Well, I've got one here in the studio. It's got buttons inside it, so, you know, there you go. You're just not looking in the right place.
I didn't know you were doing panto this year, but there we are.
Boom! Oh, my goodness.
All right, thank you.
Right, where are we going to start? What you got?
Thank you.
a second. You've got drums right next to you. That's incredible.
I always come prepared. I thought I might say something vaguely humorous today, so I came prepared.
But I need to know, have you hit a drum kit or was that a button?
It's just a sound machine.
There we go.
It's just a love machine, what can I say? Right, shall we do the tech story first?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. TikTok has been fined £12.7 million by the Information Commissioner's Office in the UK because it allowed 1.4 million UK children under the age of 18 to use the platform in 2020, TikTok is meant to not allow people to register and use their service if they're under the age of 13. They let them use it. They didn't seek parental control, and now they've been fined £12.7 million. The reason why this is important is because TikTok's algorithm in particular, but all social media, have these algorithms that look at what you observe and then see how you engage with it, and then the algorithm serves you more of that, and people disappear down ever more extreme rabbit holes of content. So it is a problem. They haven't safeguarded these children. They have potentially come to harm by being fed videos that are age inappropriate for them. And I think whilst it's a good thing that TikTok has been fined £12.7 million. That's less than £10 per child. And compared to TikTok's profits and turnover is insignificant. You know, could be viewed by TikTok as a cost of doing business. Interestingly enough, the ICO was minded to fine them £27 million, and they more than halved it. So I just think that, you know, these organizations, it's good what the ICO have done, but they need teeth. They need to be able to fine them a percentage of their turnover.
How was it decided then, that amount? How did they come to that?
I don't know. The ICO originally said that it was minded to fine them, I think it was £27 million, and then TikTok appealed and made protestations because obviously that's a lot of money for them. It's literally, you know, postage stamps for them. I mean, it's nothing. And it's not going to, I don't think that sort of fine is going to make them, TikTok's revenue for the year was £64 billion.
Wow.
So 12.7 is nothing, you know. Do you see what I mean? So yeah. There are fines that under GDPR regulations, for example, it is possible to fine organisations a percentage of their global turnover. And that really hurts because if they get a few of those, their profits for the year get wiped out in a single year. So it becomes an imperative. But I don't think this fine, other than the bad publicity that it gives them, I don't think it really incentivizes TikTok to sort the problem. And it is a difficult problem, to be honest. How do you ensure that someone is at least 13 years old? I mean, if they are 16 or 18, they can have various forms of ID. But, you know, a 13-year-old, what would you even ask for, you know? So they have to develop robust ways of people proving their age, even if it means, you know, instead of a purely electronic process, that they have to send some sort of proof of age, upload some sort of proof of age onto the site or even send it in by post. And I know that's a bit old school, but it's really not good having, you know, and goodness knows how young the youngest of those children was.
Yeah, I mean, we've got an 11-year-old and he has friends that are on TikTok. We won't let him on TikTok at all. But you wonder what hoops, do they make them jump through to prove their age so far? What is in place?
Well, clearly, I think it's clearly insufficient, whatever they're doing. I don't think it can be sufficient. And, you know, we're talking about TikTok now, but this the principle applies to, you know, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube, all of these sorts of social sites where they, have an algorithm serving up content. And some content, you know, even on, you know, YouTube, you know, you watch one thing and then it sort of leads you to something else and then something else. And before you know it, you've got some fairly extreme, unpleasant content in front of your eyes. And I say that even as an adult. I wouldn't even want a 13-year-old to be viewing some of that stuff. I'm not sure how much the algorithm cares about safeguarding our children. I think it cares about maximizing the number of hours that whoever's in front of that screen spends watching and engaging.
Yeah, and the terrifying thing as a parent is, short of sitting next to them when they're on the phone doing that, you just can't police it. You know, my son does sometimes watch YouTube shorts, and I don't know who we're putting our trust in these situations, but it is a worrying thing.
Well, YouTube shorts in particular are ultra addictive. I mean, they're quite a recent innovation by YouTube, and they give that dopamine rush, but they are literally, you know, 30 seconds or so, and then on to the next one and on to the next one. And I've sort of disabled the shorts, but funnily enough, I disable YouTube shorts and it keeps coming back even though I've disabled it. So that tells you something about, you know, how much they respect our wishes. But even I have found myself to be slightly addled after, you know, 20, 30 minutes of that. And it's very addictive, it's very engaging, and it's not very good for you. I actually felt quite unwell. I felt sullied, actually, I felt. Strange to say it in that way. But it is. I mean, it wasn't that I was watching anything. You know, it was going down political routes and this and that and then war and, you know, and it was just distressing in the end.
Mm.
And the fact that they're short, I think, actually heightens that as well, because you're engaging and then re-engaging and then re-engaging. And in terms of your mental well-being, I don't think that's a good thing. It doesn't feel good to me.
No,
I try to avoid that.
Yeah, oh, goodness me. Kirsten O'Brien chatting to Fevzi Turkalp, who is the gadget detective. Certainly knows his stuff. Just brought us a tech story. Now we need actual gadget news from you, please, Fevzi.
Right, two gadgets today. One from a brand called The House of Marley, which is actually named after Bob Marley. It's, I think they set up a foundation afterwards, and they make these audio products, which are very environmentally friendly, all renewable materials. So this is actually a record player. So it's a bit old school, but it's a record player with a bit of modern tech in it as well. So it's called the Stir It Up record player. Now, all the products from House of Marley tend to be named after either the titles or the lyrics of Bob Marley songs. So this one's called the Stir It Up record player. There's two versions of this. This is the non-wireless version, and there's a wireless one which has built-in Bluetooth if you want that. So this is a conventional record player, but it's got some nice aspects to it. First of all, it's a wooden plinth, and the wood is actually bamboo. So again, it's, you know, very renewable resource. It's got a high quality cartridge in it, and Audio-Technica cartridge, which is replaceable. But the unique thing about this record player is it's got a USB socket on it, a computerized USB socket. And what it does is it takes the analog music from the record and it converts it to a digital stream. It digitizes it, sends it out via USB, where you can connect it to your computer and record it digitally. So if you haven't done so already, this would be an ideal device to digitize your entire record collection before it, you know, deteriorates and so forth. So I think you still get records from the library, and some people would sort of borrow them, record them and send them back. I wouldn't recommend that, obviously, because that would be copyright infringement. But the ability to have this very simple way of connecting what is in fact, you know, a very old technology, a record, but have the ability to connect it to a modern computer and record it, I think it's great. In terms of the basics of the record player, it's good. It's start stop belt drive. It's also got some flexibility in terms of the output. So normally, if you have a record player and you have to plug it into an amplifier, the amplifier has to have, you know, phono inputs for a record player. This one can connect in that way, but it's got a switch as well where it can just output what's called line level, which means it can go into the other sockets. So if you don't have those sockets, you can plug it into the other ones. It's also got a headphone jack in the front as well, so you can plug your headphones in and listen to it that way. It will play 33 and a third and 45 RPM records. It will not play 78s. If you're really for 78s, and you know this is not for you. I love the design of this, and I love the bamboo crafted plinth as well. I think it looks really good. The reason why I chose to cover this today, though, as opposed to any other day, this thing normally, this is the non-wireless version, normally retails for £200. And I notice it's currently selling for £100, both on Amazon, and there are obviously lots of other retailers, but also on thehouseofmarley.co.uk. And what I notice also on their website is if you sign up for their newsletter, you get 15% off. So you can actually get this for about £85 delivered, which, considering it's a decent record player, I mean, you could spend hundreds on a record player and you would get a better one, but you know, you'd have to spend quite a lot more. I think Rolling Stone magazine called it the best budget turntable under £250. So, you know, you can get better, but you'd have to spend a lot more to do that. So I think if what you want to do is listen to the occasional record and then get them all transferred over before something happens to one's beloved vinyl, then, you know, that this is a good device to do it with. And for £85 with the you know, discount voucher, I think that's a bargain. And on that basis, I have given it 4 stars out of 5.
You know, if you were transferring your records over, would it still have the crackles, you know, all of that on it? Would it alter the recording at all, or would you get that original sound, record sound?
So you would get any imperfections on the record would be recorded. But the thing about that is once you've got it in digital form, you can run software on it and remove the crackles.
I don't want to remove the crackles. I don't want them.
That's what
I
was going to say to you. No, but so the answer is yes, you would get that. I was going to go and say to you that, you know, people who produce music now run bits of software to introduce crackles on it as if it was a record. So,
yeah. Retro sound going on.
We come full circle, yeah. So, yeah, no, I like that. But the point is you get a lot of the warmth. I mean, obviously, it is then digital, so you're not going to get a perfect copy of it, but you will get one that's pretty good and most people will be happy with. Again, you can spend a lot more. You can get a separate analog to digital converter and then do it that way, and you know, a higher end turntable. You can do that, but then you're looking at hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and you know, you need a bit of know-how to even choose and set it up, whereas this is simple. It's got the USB socket on the back. You just plug it in and record it onto the PC, and Bob is your proverbial. So I think, for the money, for £85, it's a bargain. I mean, if you were to buy an analog to digital converter on its own, it would cost you more than that for a decent one. So I think, you know, this thing was worth £200. It would probably go back up to that price at some point. I did mention there's a wireless version as well, but that one is the same record player, exactly the same gubbins. The only difference is it's got a Bluetooth connector, so you can wirelessly connect to Bluetooth speakers, which is convenient. But to be honest with you, the wired connection is going to give you a better sound quality. So if you can put up with a couple of wires to your speakers, you're going to get much better sound quality. And I would say I would rather buy this for 85 than that for 220 or whatever it's currently selling for.
I like that.
If you really wanted Bluetooth, you could even get a Bluetooth dongle and attach it to the output of this one, and you could probably do that for about £20. So, you know, again, you know, there's ways around it.
But I
think, you know, sometimes convenience is not everything. Sometimes it's worth, you know, just running a couple of wires and getting a good, you know, wires don't, you know, you don't get Bluetooth dropout with wires, and you don't have technical problems and batteries don't die. It's all good with a wire, and you'll get the best quality as well.
To be honest, if you're listening to records, you probably want wires as well. You know, if you're not going to be worried by wires if you listen to records.
You don't want that newfangled wireless stuff.
No.
Mind you, you know, vinyl continues to be amazingly popular with some younger and hipster type people. You know, there is something about vinyl, isn't there? The experience of playing vinyl, which is kind of special, and being able to read the sleeve notes, and even this, you know, I'm sounding very old now, but it's even the smell of it, you know. I used to love it, you know, when I used to open a gatefold sleeve and read the lyrics and all that. It's not the same on an iPad.
No, you're right.
It's good, but it's different. So, very quickly, one more gadget, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a stand for laptops. So we've spoken before about the importance of ergonomics. We spend lots and lots of money on our tech. You know, a laptop can be £1,000, even £2,000. And we spend all that money and then we just plonk it down the desk and we crook our necks and we try and use it. And ergonomically, it can be a bit of a disaster because in order to make it portable means that it's not the best experience to use. And one of the things about it is it's the wrong height. And it takes up all that room on the desk. So this is a device from a company called 12 South, and it's called the HiRite Pro for laptops and MacBook. And what it does is it's basically two arms that you rest your open laptop on, and then you can raise it and lower it to whatever height you want, I think up to about 6 inches off the desk. So the screen becomes much closer to eye level, which is, you know, a really nice thing, and it's underrated, you know, having something at the right level. And it means that you can have a little keyboard and then just pop the keyboard, you know, separate wireless keyboard, and just pop it away when you don't want it. This is a development of an earlier unit from 12 South, and the difference is it facilitates wireless charging on the base. You have to use your own little wireless charging puck, but it's got a little slot underneath it, and you pop it in, and then when you put your smartphone on it, assuming your smartphone supports wireless charging, then you can wirelessly charge your smartphone without taking up extra desk space. Now, all of this is good, and I understand why they don't actually include the charger, but rather just make space for it. But the problem with it is the cost. The cost has gone very high, because the one without the bump for the wireless charging is currently £59. The one with the bump is over £96, and the only difference is that you facilitate putting your own charger into it. It doesn't have any of the charging gubbins built into it. So I've given it 3.5 stars. If the price were to drop to around £70 as opposed to £96, then it would have got 4 stars. But at this, I mean, it's a new device, so it might drop a bit in price. It's probably worth keeping an eye on it. Or the non-wireless charging version is still available for £59, and that's a better bargain. And £59, it's still not cheap for a stand, but it's very well made. And if I'm going to put my laptop on something that's perching above the desk, I want something that I can trust not to drop my expensive laptop, you know, for it not to slide off. And I think this one's well built. So 3.5 stars by virtue of its cost, or the 4 stars for the £59 version of it. And it's called...
Go on.
It's called the 12 South Hi-Rise Pro for laptops and MacBook.
We were just talking about records and going all retro, the pair of us there. What you really need in this situation, old school, is a couple of phone books, don't you, to stand your laptop on. That would have done the trick. Where have they gone, eh? Five stars for the phone book as a stand.
I must tell you, I've got a little Mac Mini computer here, and then I've got two books propping up my iPad. So I've got the iPad on the stand, but it's not quite the right height for me. So I've put a couple of books underneath it. It is a bit old school. It does a job, but it's not sartorially elegant, is it? I mean,
we're not going for
but
that,
but they are good
we?
Books.
Oh,
they,
there
they
you go.
I've got the nation's favourite poems under my iPad. So the only problem is when I want to read it, then suddenly my iPad isn't as high as it used to be.
You don't read that book. Let's not kid anyone. Come on, Fevsy.
No, it's lovely. I love it. My favourite, my favourite poem in it is called Chocolate Cake.
Well, why am I not surprised by that? We'll give you one another time, please, for a reading of that. I'm going to hold you to that in
delighted.
The future. Lovely to chat to you. Thank you very much. That's Fevsy. Find him at The Gadget Detective on Twitter. Sign up as well for his free podcast, gadgetdetective.com, if you want more Fevsy.